Welcome one, welcome all, step right up, ladies and gentlemen, Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 103. This episode is entitled, So We Meet Again. Howdy everybody, Portal Gaming Podcast is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network, and it's a podcast brought to you by a store called The Portal, located in Manchester, Connecticut. For more information, you can log on to www.timemachineportal.com. Check us out on Facebook, The Portal, very active there lately, and on Twitter, @PortalGaming60. Hello, everybody. I am your host, The Brant, and with me for episode 103...
Christian, returning.
Yes, Christian is back. You were on episode 66, Order 66, I believe would have been our title for that one.
Yeah.
And so now it's So We Meet Again. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Little hectic getting your way to the podcast recording.
Yes, with the rain and some kind of paving and something to do with something, and Route 66 clogged. Yep.
That's all right. We're here now.
Yes.
All right. Also that title, because we're going to talk about two-player duel games, because we've done a lot of dueling in our days of playing games together.
And every time my friend Tim comes over, I'm putting a shout-out for him, that's what we do, because it's just the two of us playing. So we have to find games that are at least two players. Some games are three or up, like Armageddon. We try to play two players, but you can't. You have to have a third player. Like, same thing with Munchkin. I know, I said Munchkin. you have to have a third player to balance out the you know,
yeah,
take that aspect. But two-player games, it's just give it back, you know?
Yeah, there's definitely something beautiful in that. So we'll talk about that for sure. You are here on VonnerCon Eve.
Eve, yes.
We're 2 days away from VonnerCon, so you got to see the place getting ready for 100-plus people walking through my house.
And I should be here Saturday, because all the rest of the days I work.
Well, you can always be sick. Just don't tell them to listen to the podcast.
No. I could.
No, just kidding. Obviously, work comes first. So, there's that. Yeah, so we're excited for VonnerCon and all those things. And, and we'll do an episode. The next episode should be our post-recap, whether it's me, Brian, Kathy, I don't know. Maybe I'll have some people who are at VonnerCon recap if I remember, but it's usually quite busy, and I have very strong host abilities. So, but I got my gaming shelves ready. I'm getting the space cleared out. In fact, the room is empty of games, and so people can probably hear an extra echo in this episode.
A little bit.
Because I'm in the gaming room, and all the games have been removed and put on the shelves, and it makes it extra echoey in here. But
extra padding.
That's okay. We just thought, you know, episode 103 should be from a cave. There were caves in Star Wars, so we can have caves on the episode.
Yes. Living caves, too.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Just a quick event reminder is November 3rd is the Extra Life event at the store, and that is all 24 hours on November 3rd. So it is midnight to midnight, and Christian, I believe you're planning on being there?
Yes, I'll probably be there 24 hours, even though if I'm there 22 hours, I'm going to post myself into the picture, because they kind of take a picture of everybody that did 24 hours, and I'm always left out, even though if I do 23 hours.
So definitely want to check that day out. That's really good. And we'll have more information as we get closer, but want to put that on your calendars. Hey, let's jump into some games we played. Do you want to kick us off with a couple games you've been playing lately?
I've been playing a lot of games that have to do with maidens.
Nice.
I've got Maiden's Quest. Actually, Quest. Sorry. I started a quest. Maiden's Quest. I pre-ordered that. I got it in. It's a hand management game where you're fighting as a princess trying to escape the captor. You select a captor, you select a maiden. Each card will tell you how many cards to put in your deck. I actually brought it with me. And as you're leveling up or fighting different things, Mike Delisio did that on his thing, and so did Liz. That game,
yeah.
Liz Davidson. So I saw their playthrough. Now I know how to play it even better. I played at least 20 times. It's just phenomenal. Flipping cards over, enhancing them. I think my next game I'm going to try to get is Palm Island, which is close to it.
Yeah, I haven't played Palm Island. I've played Maiden's Quest, and I really like Maiden's Quest. There's a lot to it. The deck setup is quite involved.
Yeah.
So it's one of these where, you know, it's not like there's that many cards. I mean, there's like 100 cards you got to shuffle through, but it's definitely a process. Like, if you're standing in line somewhere, you're not making a deck. So you got to bring a pre-made deck with you, knowing you're going to wait in line.
Yeah. So many times I've died, and I've had to just reset the deck.
Yeah, and it definitely plays into some randomness. Like, there's times where it just doesn't work out. But, it is neat that when you take damage sometimes, it upgrades. Even though you're damaging the card, it upgrades it. That one's all.
Give me magic spell. Okay, I'll do that.
But I feel like Palm Island might kind of win out as people's favorite in terms of just, you just shuffle and go. Like, you just carry it in your pocket.
Yeah.
And that might, so I'll have to try Palm Island.
And if you want to play 3 to 4 players, you have to buy another deck, and apparently they sold out, but now they're back in stock.
Well, I have a copy, and you have a copy,
yeah.
So people can play 3 and 4 players.
And you can sign my cards, maybe.
Oh, right. Yeah, if you play together, you get to sign each other's cards. It's Legacy!
Yes. And the other Quest game, I got it from Kickstarter a little bit earlier, and that's Heroes Quest. Dice drafting, each colored die represents a different resource that you're trying to get to the creator of the maker of the resource and getting it to the store. And there's going to be heroes that are coming in town, kind of like a boss monster, but you're supplying their needs. And if you supply their last need, they'll go into your tableau, and then you can exhaust them for their special ability once per turn. And once all dice are drafted, that's the end of the turn, and then you can ready them up. So each person is drafting a die on their turn. The actions are reflected on a different card, and that gets turned over every turn too. So you can take two actions with one die. Say that you can create items, and then you can send a spy into someone else's town that they're creating and stop the supply line for helping them get the items to their town to, or their seller to sell to the thing. You get points for every time you are able to get an item from your creator to the seller. And then you get a point for every time that you have 4 extra resources, and then you can get a victory point that way. But it's a lot to take that, because sometimes people are sending spies. You only have one spy per turn, but there's a card that was in one of the heroes, and they give you a stack of heroes, so you can't play with the same heroes. You're designing your own building as it goes. One of the die represents where the building can be built,
mm-hmm.
and you can upgrade your resource. Like, you're making an armorer, and you can have a level 2 armorer on top of him, and level 3 on top of that, and they will produce more and more resources, whatever level they are. And then you can sell more, depending on how many you have in the store to sell to the hero that's in town. And that's that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, you I feel like you're like a mini gems of Kickstarter. Like, I feel like there's a lot of like small box games or lower on the price end that you have around a lot, and a lot of them have worked out pretty well. Where did this one kind of stand in the grand scheme?
This was in the $50 range.
Oh,
but
is it a bigger box?
It is. It's a larger box.
It sounded like a smaller game the way you said it.
The amount of tiles they have is based on there's level 1 tiles, level 3 tiles, level 2 tiles.
Okay.
So as your tiles are going out into your... I mean, there's enough that you can play up to 4 players with it. Age is 14, up to 90 minutes. Yeah, because I played this with Harrison.
Oh, okay.
And one other player is at the game group.
Mm-hmm.
And
Chits and giggles.
It was pretty good. We were confused on a couple of things because the rules say one thing, but, you know, it's always that what the card says, you know, does it. But, yeah, it was pretty good. I like it.
Cool. Well, I got a chance to play Vikings Gone Wild. Have you heard of this game?
I've heard of it.
Have you played it?
No.
All right. So apparently Vikings Gone Wild is based on an app, and there's so many apps I don't even exist around them anymore. I feel like some very famous ones. I haven't heard of this, but it's by Lucky Duck Games, and they seem to be making a lot of app ports. I don't know if they're ports, because they're not trying to copy the game. They're making a whole new game based off the app. But Vikings Gone Wild is a Viking-themed deck-building game where you attack each other because you're Vikings. And it's got your pretty standard, you know, fare of draw five cards on your turn and then spend your cards for various resources. I think it's gold and wood, and then you can, or gold and beer, and then you can spend those to buy new cards. You can buy buildings, which don't go into your deck. They just go in your tableau. You could upgrade your town hall. So it's got a little bit of like a Warcraft or Starcraft feel to it, like you're building a little town that you're upgrading. And then you can buy various other cards, attack cards and things that go in your deck. Now, I actually played this. I played it prior. I think I've reviewed it prior. But I got to play it with the Master of Elements expansion. So Lucky Duck Games gave this to me as a review copy as well as with the expansion. Now, there's a lot of expansions for this game. I think when it came on Kickstarter, it had like literally like four or five expansions that also came out with it. But the Master of Elements is like the big expansion. So it actually adds an extra board. You have your player board with all of your cards and things. And it adds an extra board where you now are managing elements. You're generating elements every turn. And you also have like a Norse god that you're following that's giving you a special power if it upgrades and a couple other things.
That's really cool.
So a little bit of an asymmetrical power, and you could upgrade that god and generate more tokens, and then you can spend those. So yeah, the game, you're trying to purchase cards, add to your deck, and there's some common goals that come out that you can score points for. So everybody's trying to work towards, you know, have the most attack cards, have the most green element cards, you know, whatever it is. There's several goals that people are scoring towards. And then you're scoring on the board. When you attack other players, you damage their building, but it's literally just a damage token, and nothing happens. So it's very Euro in that. And then you score points for the number of buildings that you damage.
A friendly attack.
And gain resources, and other players can't attack them. So you actually play in rounds, and at the end of the round, everybody removes their damage, and now I could attack you, and you could attack somebody else, etc., etc. So It's nice in that the attacking doesn't become what the game's all about. Oh, I'm just going to attack you and shut you down, and then you can't do anything this turn. But it is a little silly in that you're attacking and just, I scored points, or I stole a beer from you, but I just take it from this resource thing. But it works well. I mean, it's fine. It's a little strange thematically, but mechanically it works perfectly fine. And it's smart. It doesn't allow people to team up on one player, so now we're going to get rain in the background.
Well, there was a tornado warning on the way here.
There you go. All right. So yeah, that's how the game plays out. There's cards from a center row that kind of come out and move across like conveyor belt style. And it's a race. So I believe it's to 30 points. It might be with two players. It's to 40 or vice versa. I can't remember. And you're trying to score points. And along the way, as you score points, you get these like master cards that are really good. Not credit cards. These really good cards that come out, and you get to draft those to put in your deck at like 5 points, 15 points, and or maybe 5, 12, and 20 or something like that. You get these better cards that can go into your deck that are pretty powerful. They're neat in terms of all that. So the game's really good. I like it with the Master of Elements. It gives you that asymmetrical power. It gives you more things to do, more ways to gain resources. The game's pretty quick. Like, it doesn't really outstay its welcome, which is a really good part of the game. You know, it's like a solid, big box, 60-minute deck-building game. I think with the expansion, I liked it better, but I was playing it with two new people, and I think putting the expansion in there definitely made it, like, non-gateway for them. Now, I'm pretty sure they had both played Dominion, so they didn't need a gateway to deck builders. And they play a decent number of games. They play a lot of games with me lately. And so, you know, definitely solid. Like, I think they play Magic and some other things. But I definitely saw some, like, there's a lot of things going on here. I wouldn't mind if this was streamlined. Whereas I was like, ooh, this is nice to take it to the next level. So I think, you know, I loved the expansion. I thought it was great. But I could see, like, kind of playing it without the expansion and then adding the expansion in to kind of go in two steps. The only part in the game that's a little bit strange is there's, like, this row of cards that come out, the conveyor belt one I was talking about. Mm-hmm. And very often you skip over them. Like, there's some that can give you points, so those are pretty key.
So the Storm Realm style.
And there's others that might have, like, a decent card, but a lot of them are just kind of throwaway cards, and they're not as good. So it's just kind of a strange mechanism to always be working your way through. Because, like, at the end of every round, you discard one of them and slide them all down. But it doesn't really matter. There's plenty of things to buy. Because you can buy buildings, you can buy cards for your deck, you can buy those cards that you attack. Like, there's so many things going on. But yeah, I really like Vikings Gone Wild. I feel like the theme is just not really something... I don't mind Vikings, but just, hey, let's just attack each other and drink beer and whatever. Like, it's just not exciting for me. But I really like the deck builder. I would say as a gateway, Dominion or Clank work a lot better in terms of gateway and whatnot. The joy in Clank of just collecting stuff is a lot more exciting to me than, ooh, I attacked your buildings and got victory points. That's just not as good. But great job by Lucky Duck Games. Hopefully I'll try some of the other expansions at some point and let people know. But that's Vikings Gone Wild.
Cool. Heroes Quest, if anybody wanted to know. Heroes Quest was by Brian Sowers, by One Method Monkey Games.
One Method Monkey.
Yeah. The next game I was playing was Tiny Epic Zombies, another Kickstarter I got in. And I played that. It's so weird. I was watching the Watcha Played also. And the first rules, the rules are set up so one person is the zombie player. And then you'll have another player or two players playing as the humans trying to... you're stuck in a mall and zombies are getting in. They don't actually move. You just fill up token spots where they go. And then, if they reach the center location, innocent, bystanders get, taken out. And the innocent bystanders also represents your lives. So if you've ever gotten over, if your health and your bullet token meet at one time, you die. You flip your card over and you give it to the zombie player or AI, and that special effect on top of the card takes effect. And then you take one of the innocent bystanders and then you grab another card and be another player. Mm. So all the items that you had are stuck in the store that you died in. And of course, just like any other Tiny Epics, there's multiple sides to each one. There's item meeples, so which we didn't even use last time. We just had the cards next to our tableau, but then you also have the items you can put on your meeples, too. We played it in almost 20 minutes, but we lost because there's, out of 9 of the 3 objectives, we lost one of them because you have to, at one point, getting chemicals to find a cure for the zombies. And we missed one because you have to flip them over, but you can't take the token. And it's a game of memory.
Ugh.
And we had to get the last thing, but we just ran out of... Once you run out of item cards or that's it. You take one more round to see if you can win. And that was it. But it was really enjoyable. I like it better cooperative than competitive.
Okay.
I have a lot of the one versus all type games. But that was, it was pretty good. I liked it. And that, of course, is Amblin Games.
Gamelin.
Gamelin Games.
Amblin Entertainment. Yes. I think that's like the E.T. people.
Yes, it is. and the other game I was playing with my friend was, we hadn't played Magic in a while, and we'll get that out later, too. So I just pulled out a couple of my decks, and we just had a couple of things. So next time I have a couple of... the starter kits, and you get 167 random common rare cards, but you also get 4 boosters and at least 100 lands, 10 of each kind.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then you, well, that's that 50, 60, 50.
50.
50 lands, and you can design your own deck just using the basic stuff. So I took 2 boxes, 2 starters, kits? Starter kits? Anyway. Yeah, I threw them together, so next time we're going to try to do a draft.
Oh, nice.
So.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Back to you.
Yeah, no, Magic is great. You reminded me with Tiny Epic Zombies, which I would totally play. All the zombies are But I want to play Tiny Epic Defenders with the Dark War. Is that the... So, no, you know the Dark War rules?
Kinda.
Learn them.
Because, okay, so you pretty much you set up the towns, but once you go to a location, you place one of the caravans there, and then you get the caravans back to town without them being attacked by the same creatures that you still have.
Yeah, no, perfect. But learn that and bring that to VonnerCon.
Yeah.
I want to play that.
Yep.
And see where that goes from there, because that looked interesting. All right, I got a chance to play Cryptid from Osprey Games. So Cryptid is a game where everybody is searching for the mysterious beast or creature or whatever it is, and you lay out a map according to a card. You have like six tiles, and you lay out the terrain, and then you put a bunch of landmarks down, and they're wooden pieces in various shapes and colors. And then everybody gets a little booklet, and the card tells you, oh, if you're this color and symbol, each booklet has like a color and symbol associated with it, then look at clue 43, and you look at clue such and such. And then basically everybody's clues together will pinpoint a space on the board. And so on your turn, you have two options. You can either start a search by putting a round disc, and you're saying, yes, it can be here, according to my clue. So mine was either on a forest space or a mountain space. And then it just goes around the table, and everybody says yes or no. I guess as soon as somebody says no, it stops the search. If it goes all the way around and everybody says yes, you win. The other option is you can say a specific person, Christian, could it be here? And then you have to put a yes or no disc on that space. If you put a no, I also have to place a no somewhere else on the board. And basically, it's just a big, I played it with five, so it's a big five-player deduction game. You're just trying to figure out, okay, kind of what are everybody's clues? And you do have the booklet has a great chart of what all the possible clues could be. So you can just kind of go through and narrow them all down. And you're just trying to put that all together. It's pretty quick, 20 minutes. There isn't really any AP. I mean, you might think about, okay, what's that person thinking? But it's very easy to think about your turn on other people's turns. You know, obviously I'm going to be like, oh, wait, that changed on the turn before mine. But essentially, it's not a big deal. It also has an advanced mode where the clues are like, it cannot be. So they're all, you know, inverse or negated, whichever way that would work out. Yeah, it was great. The components, you know, they're very basic. They're nice. The board looks nice in terms of terrain. But they're basic and everything. But the whole game is just playing amongst the players. And it's neat that it's a deduction game like Clue, but you're knocking it out in 20 minutes and it still has that same feeling. So I don't know if this would work with kids. I feel like they'd get confused based on the number. So I'd be intrigued to play it like how it balances at like two players and three players, because that might be okay for a kid to figure out. I don't know that people are worried about playing this with kids, but at that short rate and being like Clue with a theme that's not like, here's a dead body. Figure it out, kids, right? What could you kill someone with? Which I don't think is really that big a deal in terms of the theme, but
my little that. Clue.
Yeah. Yeah, my first clue. So yeah, it was really neat. Good game, good package, exciting deduction, and I enjoyed it. Cryptid from Osprey Games.
Cool.
Anything else on your list? So you had some video games you were playing?
Video games. I went back to Mass Effect number one. I beat it with my Commander Shepard, because once you play that game, you construct your own Commander Shepard. You're used to his voice being that same thing or her voice being that same person. So when Mass Effect 2 came out, it didn't completely gel with the same person. So I had to like fiddle with it a little bit. And then once number 2 and then 3, and then the character also gets transferred to that. So you're playing the same characters. The decisions that you make, it's an amazing choose your own adventure. No, it's Bethesda Games. It was the first one, even before it came out after Morrowind. You choose what you want to say to the person, they'll remember it, and then later on it'll come back up, or you choose decisions where someone's gonna die, someone's not gonna die, and then they're not in number two because they've died. But playing that again, it's phenomenal. Where was I going with that? So I didn't play it. Originally, I played my first Commander Shepard as a total, like, good guy, maxed out good guys. Thank you for helping me, because I wanted to make sure that later on, somebody's going to come back to me and say, hey, you helped me in this, I'm going to help you in this. And this time I'm playing a renegade. So every time she's telling everybody, yeah, you're going to help me, eh, you know, go sit in a corner, you know, or a mission fails and you're like, you blame everybody else. So you're getting these renegade points and I'm trying to max that out for an achievement for a renegade. But I made her a different class than my first shepherd. So it's cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
I am like way out in video game land. I just haven't been involved, but I'm hoping to acquire a Nintendo Switch before the end of the year and jump in with Breath of the Wild and Mario Odyssey. My daughter's actually excited to play Mario Odyssey, and I don't know what else is on there, but those are the games that I'm looking at and jumping back in. Kind of the RPG adventure style are probably what I'm looking to do. I don't know how long video games take to beat anymore. Like, when I was a kid, it was like 40 hours to beat, like, a JRPG. But I don't know where they're at now. Like, it seems like games are like 15 to 20 hours now.
My first Mass Effect took me 47 hours because I was also... You can go to different planets that you don't even have to. Just land your ship there. Oh, there's something here. And then you can get those resources. Number two even did it better. You can actually put out probes on a planet, get more resources, go back and do something else. Three even better, because whatever you did in the second one, you got a bunch of different extra resources, pretty much like, hey, you helped us out there. And it's just phenomenal. The thing with Mass Effect 3 was that no matter what you did at the end, it was the same outcome, just different cinematics. So they came out with a patch that will help you start at the Cerberus station and play through the game again, but you still had the same outcome. It was so sad.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, so I look forward to bringing her through. We have 47 hours for the first one with my first Shepard, and Mass Effect 2, I think, was over 50.
Okay, so...
And then 46 or 40 with Mass Effect 3, but also it gave you a multiplayer platform, so you can go to different planets with other players and get chests and open them up, and you're part of Shepard's crew that he sent down on a special away mission, and you're getting extra character classes and stuff. And then later on in Mass Effect 3, if you go to a place and something's happening, you can actually have them help you out in that location, and it clears up the tension in that section of space.
Yeah, it'd be cool if they made a Mass Effect board game. I feel like that would... It's just, right, they have to not screw it up.
Right.
So, cool.
To your own adventure.
Yeah. All right, that's what we've been playing, so let us know what you've been playing. But we're going to roll right into our topic here, which is two-player duel games. So we meet again. And we've played a lot of these over the years that we've been playing. We played War Chest recently.
Yes.
Played some Star Wars LCG. Mm-hmm. We played, what was the Star Wars Decipher?
Well, that was just called Wars.
Wars.
And you helped me learn some of the rules that way, too, because, but it's so weird. The rules that we were playing with, the rules in the book, they're not the same, so they must have switched something up to change it, you know?
Yeah.
But it was still the same game. You had, you know, your characters on one side, your locations, and battling at those locations and doing the attrition and stuff like that. That was phenomenal. What was the other ones we played?
We've played Destiny.
Yes.
We played that Enchanters.
You tried that out, yeah.
Yeah, we played that Enchanters lately, which isn't a duel game, but we played it two-player, and it kind of had that back and forth, those like card drafting games.
Are you going to beat that monster? I'm not going to beat that monster. I'm taking too much damage.
Right. Have you played Ashes, Rise of the Phoenix Morn?
No.
Okay, so you should play that game. So that's something that we need to play together. I don't know that that's a BonnerCon, because two-player games at BonnerCon are not a great idea.
Right.
When I have a lot of people in the house.
But I can't play four players.
But that's something that we should... Yeah, that's true. It can play more. I'm intrigued as where it goes. Have you played Shards of Infinity or anything like that?
I own it. I have not played... Yes, I did play it. But on the, I screwed up on the rules one time because my friend Tim and I... whenever I had extra resources, I tapped all of them, exhausted, and put them all into my thing. So my guy pumped up really quickly.
Yeah.
And then when it came around, I said, infinitive damage. And he goes, what? And so, yeah, it was supposed to be one per turn to pump it up.
Oh, but you were just spending all
of yours. Spending, like, I had five. Boom. My technology, what do they call it? Technology skills?
Mastery.
Mastery skills, yeah. Went up and yeah. Nice. But I played that. I also play World of Warcraft trading card game with my dad.
Oh, there you go.
Dice Masters.
Oh, there's another one. So let's go this route, okay. Though. So we both like two-player dual games.
Yes.
I'm just going to throw Kathy in quickly, being a co-host of the podcast, and just say, so she's not one much for take that or destroy mechanisms or steal your stuff in multiplayer games, mm-hmm. but she loves two-player dual games. We've mm-hmm. played all these games that I was mentioning, the two of us, and we have a blast with them, where you're directly hurting the other player. But there's something about it in two-player where it's almost more like that's the point, so I know you're going to attack me, and I'm trying to get powerful enough so you can't do that. And also just timing becomes a big key, right? Like in a Magic the Gathering, it's when will my combo go off, when will your combo go off? And whoever's combo goes off first is probably going to win unless mine just wasn't powerful enough, right? It was a squeak instead of really something strong. So what do you think the appeal to two-player dual games is to you?
A challenge. I mean, especially like Magic or something that you've already built a deck. Not those mega meta, you know, I've spent $4,000 sure, on this yeah. deck, but something that you just open a box and you battle, especially with what you call it coming out?
Keyforge.
You know, you just open a box, you battle someone and you can just use what you've got and trying to build up enough combo or enough items in your inventory, tableau, whatever kind of mechanism the game is using at that time. Star Realms, you're you know, constantly just pulling out like combos of different things, different factions, and they play off each other. So having something, you're mastering your own deck, you're going through your own deck, seeing how it works, but you've got someone to go against that they're trying to do the same thing to you. So it's, I can't say it's totally competitive, but it's totally competitive.
Yeah, it's like you want the competition at that point.
Yeah.
It's totally like the, you know, try to wave the hand, down. Bring it on. Yeah. Like, you know, and you can finally, you really can trash talk. And I don't know, I would never really take any of it personally. Like if we're playing Star Wars Destiny and you just eliminate one of my characters right off the bat, it's like, eh, good job. You know, you kind of hope you can come back. And if you do, it's a great story. If you don't, we move on.
Yeah, so. And also with Destiny 2, they've got the cards where you're re-rolling someone else's dice along with your dice.
Mm.
Or, you're, you know, and it's funny too, when I'm playing with my friend Tim, I'm going to throw that name out all the time.
No worries.
Sometimes I giggle because there's such a combo that either he has or I have, and it's like, oh, well, you did so much damage to me, or you know, you've taken, I want to play... other games that I have, because of course I have so many games. You know, I want to have a list of two-player games that I own that are on my I did not play you list, but I have them. it's just trying to get your stuff to do what you want it to do, but then the draw, that's another thing. With the deck of cards or with dice, it's random. You don't know yep. what's going to be in there. You know, you always hear about people top decking and stuff like that. That's because it's kind of lucky. It's like, yeah, okay, this card, I have to beat you with this card. And if you don't, then, you know, if not, you just shuffle and roll again or, you know, play again.
I think that's key. I actually think, so I get a little frustrated when people say, like, this game is great. It's streamlined. It's quick to play. It's easy to learn. Like, I have no problem with those things. I want games to be quick to play or easy to learn, but not always. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I want a game to be highly complex and long to play, and it's this great epic thing I did. So I don't always know that a 20-minute game is better than a 2-hour game, right? Like, it's not. But I feel like in these games, that is part of the fun. Like, the fact that we could just shuffle up and play again.
Mm-hmm.
So I really don't want, like, a two-player duel that's, like, an hour and 15 minutes. That seems like the bad spot. So I want it to be 45 minutes or less, you know. And yeah. if it's 15, I'll probably play best out of three. If it's 45, I'll probably play once and maybe twice if it's kind of like a lazy Saturday afternoon or something. And then I don't care if it's, you know, and I wouldn't even put these in this category, I don't think. But if it's 3 or 4 hours, if it's an Axis and Allies or a War of the Ring.
The card game.
Or, yeah, right. Or if it's Star Wars Rebellion. Have you played that?
No.
All right. I'll have to play at some point. But I think that's probably what we said on the last podcast.
Yeah. One day.
But then you get to those style games, which I don't know that they really fall in this category. Because, yeah, it's two-player and it's kind of a duel. But they're really epic games at that point. But I feel like that's what I want. I either want it to be 45 minutes or 3 hours. I'm either planning my day around it or, hey, I'm just playing this now and we'll see where it goes. And I feel like in between is not quite as good. But I think that's part of the appeal. Just like, hey, we can do this and it's head-to-head. And it's quick and we can play again if we want to. If you just totally don't understand a rule or your deck doesn't work, we just try it again. Probably the biggest downfall with these games would be text. They all tend to be text heavy.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's not even sometimes that it's that difficult to understand any of the text. Mm-hmm. There's usually a lot of jargon that you have to learn what these words mean. And they all like to have their own, you know, way that they say it. But you just get stuck there. Like, especially if you're like me and you rotate through. We play Ashes, then we play Mage Wars, then we play Star Wars CC, and you don't remember the cards. It's not like, you know, when you had your Magic deck and went to tournaments every week, and you just knew your deck cold, and you have to look at the card, you just drew the name, and you're like, oh, this one does this. So reading all that text can really slow the game down and make that first play run an hour plus.
Yeah. Yeah, especially certain ones. I like when I have the... If it is a lot of text, sometimes it's just flavor text. But, or like with Magic back in the day, it was like, if this creature came out and did attacking, the number of creatures that attacked took that much damage, the remaining damage took, and then I said, okay, well, let's just call it Trample.
Right, yeah.
So, coming out and then with different words, learning different rules for each, you know, if they didn't have, oh, well, we have that rule or that wording on our card. You can't copy it, such as, exhausting or tapping. They'd have it on, in Dice Masters, it's called Overcrush. They could have used Trample, but then, it's called Overcrush. So,
have you played any of these? Well, you probably haven't played Keyforge yet, because it's not really out.
No, I've been playing a lot of videos. Also, I saw last night, the Covenant Cast opening up packs of Transformers.
Oh, nice.
So Transformers TCG coming out. You get a pack of cards. You get one hero card, which is... and Hasbro has all the words, or all, not all the words, but all the rights for all of the Transformers. So the newer names for the Dinobots are the old names of the Dinobots, not that Slurpee and Sludgy and Poopy Doopy or whatever they call them now.
Because
they're
not Doopy.
They're Slag, Swoop, Snarl, Slug, and Grimlock, you know? So they're using the original names. And then there's the common, uncommon, and regular cards, just like any other Magic game. But of course, you always have to have, like... you know, the rarity in cards, too, sometimes denote how powerful they are, and sometimes they don't, especially in Destiny. Destiny, they just threw names, and they said, okay, this is a rare card, but it doesn't do much different than another one, except for having it in your collection, if you're a completionist.
Yeah. Have you seen the Warhammer Age of Sigmar Champions one? That's kind of interesting.
That's another one I have. I have Lightseekers.
Oh, yeah.
I have, like, all the starter decks of Lightseekers. I bought a booster box. Don't tell my wife. and I just opened them up, so I have a stack of cards that I can customize the other things, but I haven't played it yet.
Yeah.
And that plays off the same thing, but at the same time, Age of Sigmar does the Dragonborn, where you have towers that you have to try to knock down, which is actually your heroes.
Yeah.
So you're going through the lanes trying to knock them out. So it's like a deck... building MOBA.
Yeah, it's interesting. And the packs are like, you get a certain number of just common cards, but then you always get like an event that's like your staple rare or something. So those are all the rares. And then you get like a mix of heroes and, I don't know, quests or blessings, I think they're called, or something. It's just interesting how
something
they packaged it.
Something.
They packaged it different from your standard packaging, right? 13 cards with a rare and whatever it is, or 11, I think. So it's just interesting to see all those and see where they shake out. Keyforge will be interesting. But final thoughts on two-player duel games?
If you haven't played them, play them. I don't know. Especially if they have, if you want to play a game, buy a starter and play someone with. If not, then you can always sell it on the third market or something.
Yeah. I think they're great to have on hand, you know, wherever you go. And I even think of like a war chest that we played.
Yeah.
Like even that's kind of a dual style game. And you can just own that and have them self-contained. I'm really at a self-contained style now. Crystal Clans is another one.
Mm-hmm.
That one's very simple.
Summoner Wars. We didn't say that.
Oh, yeah. Summoner Wars. That's another pretty simple one.
I've played that like 8 times with Tim. Each time different things or different events that were thing, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think for me, though, I think Magic is underrated by board gamers because they feel like the only way to get in is to buy a ton. But I think you're right. Buying a starter deck or buying those dual decks and just having those around to play with people are excellent. And maybe one's a little bit better than the other, but they're super fun and you don't have to worry about all that. Ashes, to me, has kind of risen as one of my favorites. Same thing. I just buy all the decks and just keep them as is. I don't deck build or anything, you know, at this point anymore. But I still think my most underrated one is the Star Wars LCG. Mm-hmm. I love it a ton. I know people didn't like the little pod system where you have to put 6 cards in, and I get it for tournament play.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not cool that you have to have bad cards in your deck. That's no fun to draw what you deem a bad card or doesn't work.
Yeah.
I don't care about tournaments anymore. That's not what I'm going at. And I think the game's dead now, which is probably even better. You can just pick everything up or whatever you want up. But I mean, I've just made theme decks, and I don't know that I've played a game that ends up closer more often. Like, mm-hmm. so often that it's like, I'm going to win in 2 turns guaranteed. And the other person is like, I'm going to go whole hog and see if I can win in those 2 turns. And often you don't, but you feel really close to coming back. And other times you do, and it's like a come behind victory, and it's so good. I just think it's great. I know people also had a problem with the theme, like a Rancor can attack us. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm not playing a 2-player dual card game for that theme to come out. Like,
yeah, I bought a stack of these cards, so I have enough cards. Even if it's dead, I still have enough cards, you know, to play for a while. But yeah, it's quick and easy, and it's quick and easy, but I mean, it's resource management at the same time, so...
Yeah, they're great. So tell us what some of your favorite 2-player duel games are. You can tweet at PortalGaming60, or you can write to me, PortalGamingPodcast@gmail.com. All right, I think that's it for this episode. Christian, thanks for joining me.
No problem.
We had a good time.
I can come again.
Yeah, definitely. We'll have you back on, and... gearing up for some VonnerCon fun.
VonnerCon and...
Extra Life.
Extra Life. Definitely Extra Life. I've invited a couple of friends and posted on Facebook. A lot of people are interested in going. 24 hours helping Children's Medical Network. Raising money, playing games until your eyeballs bug out of your head. The last time I fell asleep in a car for about an hour, maybe that took away from my photo op. But yeah, I'm looking forward to just gaming.
What are you hoping to get to the table, do you know?
My other friend Terrence is gonna be there. It's gonna be his first 24-hour event, so I don't know what he's gonna play. He wants to play a hard mode version of Pandemic.
Okay.
Dice Masters, and some other games that I've been talking about. I talk this ear off at work. And then, so we're going to bring a lot of those games, so.
Cool. Nice. Yeah, I'll be there. I'm not sure what my exact plan is. Usually this one is harder for me to commit with teaching this early in the year, whereas in April it's like, you know, I can do a 24-hour event a lot easier and kind of have everything ready for the year. But if I do it now, I feel like I throw myself off for several weeks. So definitely check that out on November 3rd. All right. Well, this is episode 103, so we meet again.
And we meet again.
There it is. But until next time, I'm your host, The Brant.
I'm Christian.
And we hope you step into the portal. Portal Game Podcast is a product of Time Machine Toy and Hobby Store / The Portal, which is located at 71 and 60 Hilliard Street in Manchester, Connecticut. This episode was recorded on October 2nd, 2018. Please send any questions to us at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. Portal Game Podcast, a proud member of the Dice Tower Network, and for more awesome podcasts, you can log on to www.dicetowernetwork.com. Hey! Thanks for listening. And I challenge you to a duel!